I wish I had my notes on this that
had,
I took.
Had their soup.
I did write.
You
some
wrote
notes
the whole
down.
Lunch order down. Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Unpaid Programming Podcast. I'm Lawrence, joined as always by John, Jeff, and Mike.
Happy Leap Day, everybody!
This won't happen again for 4 years.
I know.
No, this is...
So in 4 years, we can do the first anniversary of this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First anniversary. So today is also the day of the South Carolina primary. Of course, by the time you all hear this, Super Tuesday will be over, because it'll take me till about midweek to finish.
That's right, and Mike Bloomberg will be the winner of South Carolina.
He will be the new president of the United States.
I don't think he's in South Carolina. I don't think he's on the ballot. Is he on the ballot in South Carolina?
No.
Tom Steyer is.
Tom Steyer. Yes.
The other billionaire.
Yeah.
Billionaires!
Yes.
Running lots of television ads, driving people insane, from what I've heard. There are people who were begging him to stop.
Yeah. We were going to vote for him just to make him stop. That's not how it works.
Well, I've been getting a lot of Bloomberg ads on the YouTubes.
Yeah.
And usually, if you're watching on like the YouTube app on like your Roku or your Fire Stick, like you can skip, right?
Yeah.
No, not with Bloomberg. You have to sit through the whole fucking thing just to get your delicious content.
He paid good money, so you know about his policies on stop and frisk and redlining and other things.
And I paid good money, so I have a computer hooked up to my TV so I can watch it through a browser and ad blocker. I don't have to see any of that shit.
Good
ad
for
blockers
you.
Are your friend, John.
Especially during campaign season, apparently.
Well, when it comes to billionaires, anyway, we shouldn't be seeing any ads right now. We're in fucking Pennsylvania, for Christ's sake. We don't vote until the end of April.
I know. By the time it gets to us, it's already pretty much wrapped up.
Usually, yeah.
The only time it was ever relevant to have a Pennsylvania primary was 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only time in my lifetime, anyway.
It was a two-horse race, if you guys remember. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Is that a slur against Hillary Clinton, calling her a horse?
Well, she's a horse-faced lesbian, Mike. Just ask Mike Bloomberg.
Thank you. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, man, that's Donald Trump-level insults. Yeah.
I know. He should embrace that instead of like, actually, I don't remember. It was a joke that I made a while ago.
You're not gonna get too far with Democratic primary voters, though, if you know.
Well, you can't have ever been mean at any point in your life.
Yeah.
Or wrong. At any point in your life.
Or use any locker room talk.
And as a registered Democrat, I fully agree with the stance. You can never, ever be mean.
Never.
Yep.
That's why we do this show.
Well,
that's why we don't run for public office.
Well, we can't now.
No, definitely not.
Digging up all this shit.
I gave that dream up.
You're better off as like on the sidelines anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, my biggest problem with black people is
I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
Yes.
But I think you're better. It's like being a football fan. You know, we are good football fans, but give us the rock. We ain't doing shit with it. Maybe, yeah, Lawrence, you're a better political fan.
Maybe.
We're better off in the stands with a pennant going, yay, yay. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I could be a neighbor in one of those, or I'm not a neighbor, a mayor in one of those really small towns. There's only like, you know, like 100 people.
Some of those towns are like dogs, Jeff, you know, so that's not really that high of a bar.
That's true. They do. That some of them do have dogs or cast as the mayor.
Really?
Because it's a position that doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, it's a ceremonial thing.
Yeah, I want one of those jobs.
You could be the mayor of Manassas. That guy doesn't even show up.
That's right.
My brother lives in Manassas, and he really hates that guy.
Everybody hates that guy. How did he win in the first place?
He wasn't 90 years old like the previous guy.
We saw him in a diner in Denora.
Get out.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was with a few friends of ours.
Well, he's younger than all of us.
Traitorous.
No, he was older. He's an older fella.
Oh, the previous mayor.
Oh, I don't know what's going on with Manassas politics, but they
Well, yeah.
The new mayor is a young fella.
It was explained to me, and he was elected mayor, and I don't know. He just stopped showing up because he got pissed off about something, and he knew that if he showed up, that they would vote him out.
Yeah, probably.
But he basically like has to be there for them to do that, so he's not going.
That seems like a loophole.
Yeah, it sounds like it is. Yeah,
so
he actually has shown up since that whole thing, but he didn't show up for like 2 years.
Oh, really? So this is the update on Manassas mayoral controversy.
This is great for international listeners.
Yeah.
Really? Although probably everyone's got somebody like that, I would imagine.
Yeah, everybody
just
around the world.
Just stupid local shit.
Yeah, yeah. They're Gene's Wests of the world. You know, there's always one district attorney that nobody likes.
Well, I actually,
mayor of Dusseldorf.
I had a point. What the fuck was it going to be?
You wanted me to be on the sidelines.
What's that?
You said I would be a better fan than a...
Well, yeah, and actually, I think this kind of relates to that, is, you know, via, you know, with the Facebooks, and every town has their own town, you know, scoop page.
Of course, yeah.
Then, of course, what eventually happens is, you know, someone gets pissed off on another one, they go form the next town scoop page, because, you know, but what you see a lot of are the, you finally get to see those folks who are really, really into local politics on the sideline. They're not even involved. Mm. They're just like, they just go to every fucking council meeting, and you wonder, like, why?
Do you even vote? No, they show up and bitch.
They show up. They vote.
Well, there is the theory that the best way to, you know, affect change even on the greater level is to first start with participating on the local level.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is
and
true.
And you have a much bigger voice. You know, if you show up to your town council meeting, then if you, say, go to one of these town hall debates or something, you can't just stand up and be like, you know what, I want to know something. But you can do that in your local town council meeting.
I guess that is a good point. So what do you expect to happen on Super Tuesday?
Well, I expect that there will be mostly Sanders victories, but I think Bloomberg will win Oklahoma.
Oh, well, great, yeah.
And I think Biden will win Alabama, and he has a good shot at Tennessee. And maybe one or two others.
Now,
maybe Virginia. I think he'll take Virginia.
You think so?
I think he'll pick it off.
I haven't seen polling from Virginia recently, so.
It's a three-way tie, essentially.
It could go anyway, then.
Keep an eye on my old home state. So.
Yeah, you do. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
The Virginians.
Well, you know, he's got a special connection to it. He's got a place in his heart there.
Spent my whole adult life there until I, you know.
Came back to become a doctor of industrial arts.
Yeah, this is only like two states in the union that still recognize that as a legitimate academic degree.
Old Dr. Table Saw.
With no thumbs.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? Since you're going to be entering that field, you have to report back to us about how many digits are missing from the people who will be teaching you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm kind of curious what that's going to look like. Will, who teaches somebody who's
got an eye patch?
Yeah. Just a pirate.
From screwing around.
Walking around with two peg legs.
Now, back to the issue at hand. I had read the title of an article.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
About how if Bernie Sanders wins the nomination, but if it's not by, I don't know, there's some certain number of delegate votes.
He needs 1,991 delegates at the convention. Correct. To just sweep it.
Right.
Without there being problems.
Right. And what I read was that all these super delegates, if that doesn't happen, they're going to go in and just vote for like Bloomberg or something like that.
That is a possibility. We actually discussed on the last program.
Yeah, we did.
We did?
Yeah, yeah, we did.
Wow, I probably zoned out completely.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you interrupted us talking about Michael Horse.
Well, you know what? It is more interesting to me, but unfortunately not you three fellas.
More impactful in your daily life.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. For him, yeah.
Very true.
But if Sanders has a clear lead, but not that 1991 number, does he get fucked over by the party?
Yes.
All right.
They better hope not.
I have
they
no better freaking clue. Oh, yeah. Yes.
And it's going to piss a whole lot of people off really bad.
And you'll have the same problem you did in 2016 where people got pissed off that they stayed the fuck home.
Exactly. Yeah.
One would hope that they're not that stupid. That if he goes in with, say, 900 delegates, hypothetically speaking, he goes in with 900. Oh, that's not enough. He needs that 1,000.
Yeah, the 1991 number.
Say he goes in with most of the delegates. Say he goes in with 1,200 delegates. Let's give it to Elizabeth Warren, who has 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the worst part is this is the same party that wants to keep parroting, you know, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. More people voted for Hillary Clinton than Donald Trump. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But then when it happens in their party and it's not the guy that they want, then they're going to be like, well, you know what? We have a process and this is what happens.
Technicalities.
Exactly.
That's kind of correct.
And what if they knew better, they would just let the guy who won to go do it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I have noticed. And I read the Washington Post, that liberal rag.
It's not the New York Times, John. That is a liberal rag.
Yeah.
And I look at all the opinion columns because I like to see what's going on out there, including like George Will and Hugh Hewitt, the few conservatives on that panel. And every opinion columnist for the Washington Post is acting like a Sanders victory is going to destroy America. And these are liberals.
Because they're getting their cues from the guys at the DNC. That's how it works. It's all a conspiracy.
It's all politics, man.
It's all politics.
These are the, a lot of those columnists are new Democrats, though. These are Clintonian.
Those people.
Those people.
I'm telling you, it's a triangle, right? You got your media. You got your corporations, man. And then you have the DNC, and they're all in cahoots.
Oh.
To push certain candidates.
And the RNC, too.
But because we have the internet.
Yeah.
That's how Bernie Sanders is so popular. If it wasn't
the average
internet,
donation to my campaign is $27.18.
Exactly. And if we didn't have that, all we would have is the media, and the media could push whoever the DNC told them to, and then there wouldn't be such a big controversy, but we wouldn't get the guy that people actually want.
But by the time you hear this, Super Tuesday will have ended.
Okay, so let's do the Bernie Sanders one discussion. Are you ready? Go.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders wins. Woohoo!
How about that? Did everybody see that coming?
He won every single contest. I told you all he would win.
Except California, because it's going to be like the end of May till we actually know who won California.
All right, take two.
Take two.
Let's do Bloomberg.
Okay.
Well, this is what we got. Okay.
Well, this party's finished. I'll see you guys over at the Green Party. Yeah, bye-bye.
Let's not alienate any of our listeners who might be, pro-Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck them. I don't care about them.
All right. Let me carry take three.
Okay.
Right? Tom Steyer, out of nowhere. Who the hell would have thought of that?
Of all people. What a surprise. A shocker, everybody.
Who the fuck is Tom Steyer?
It doesn't matter. Didn't you see the TV? Okay. He was the guy in the bad suit.
Okay. Now do Elizabeth Warren.
Okay. You can carry that one, Jeff, since that's...
Well, I'm going to get you started. You're going to do it. You're going to make the announcement. I'm going to get you started, all right?
Okay.
I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
I can't even start. Okay, so one of those we'll put in there.
Yeah.
So edit the other two out by Wednesday.
This place is fucking ponderous, man. Ponderous, fucking ponderous.
All right, so let's move on from that discussion to...
All right, we got half a chub there, so let's move on.
I think...
So one thing that we did immediately after...
Yes.
Our last program was I did something that only grown-up men do on television, and I'm not speaking dirtily.
From the...
Did you file your income taxes?
No, I did that this morning.
Congratulations.
I had a group of friends over to my house to watch the fight.
The fight. Mm. Now, we should preface this by telling the people what fight this was.
It was not the debate.
No, it was not.
John had invited two other guys over that didn't know that well to fight in the living room in front of us.
While we watched. Our entertainment.
Yes.
We kept texting him being like, this other guy called you a pussy.
You're going to let him do this here? What are you going to do about that? We got they're complete strangers, and we just got them pissed off each other. It was great.
I'm going to punch him in the face.
We got to gamble on
and knock him out.
We should look into doing that, because once Tim comes back from Thailand...
Yeah.
You know, he has some medical, first aid.
Oh, he could be like the ring guy with the fucking latex gloves on in the bag.
No, I want to be the ring guy.
Oh.
Tim's just going to be like the fight doctor. You know, they always have
the fight doctor.
Yeah.
So you'll be the guy with the water bottle and the towel.
Yeah, I'll be that guy. Yeah, and I'm putting the Vaseline on him and stuff like that.
The corner man.
And here's my transition. You ready?
Yeah.
Speaking of towels, Wilder Fury fight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And which, of course, everyone knows by this point that gives a shit. And judging by our listeners,
well, hey, we have a lot of listeners in the UK.
Oh, that's right, our UK listeners. Do,
They're champion of the
nerd.
Well, that wasn't kind.
Well, maybe they did watch the fight. I doubt it.
but we had to
pay like £900 on pay per view.
It'd also be like 6 o'clock in the morning by the time it came on for
them. Oh yeah, because they came in about midnight.
Yeah,
which is about what I expected.
It's 6 hours difference.
Now let me preface this by saying that none of us are really that into boxing.
Yeah,
but we are into spectacles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I with the exception of Mike, who unfortunately had to leave early.
He had that damn.
Your
damned
furnace.
Vagina.
Yeah, that fibrous discharge keeps creeping up on me.
fibrous discharge.
All these activities that we have planned.
He's got Special K coming out of his pussy.
Shitting corn stalks.
Shitting. He's got raw twine coming out.
He got that old corn cob cut.
Corn cob cut.
Hey, that's a legitimate medical diagnosis, Jeff.
Corn cob cunt? Yeah, only we're from your where you're from. I fucked it up. Stumbled over my own line. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I need some farm girls.
Well, you know, the Crushinator.
The Crushinator. Where Mike comes from, there's one doctor in town, and he has a bag of like his medical implements that he makes house calls with. But he has people and animals.
It's all the same bag. Yeah, he just wipes it off with a napkin and moves on.
There's like a woman trying to give birth, and he accidentally takes out the horse speculum and just tears her apart.
You guys talk about that like it's a joke. old Doc Price in Confluence, God rest his soul, is actually a licensed vet, too. That's legit.
Wow. He brought his six shooter with him to put her down.
Oh, no. Single shot 22. We talked about this already. It's one you can get for free with a bag of flour.
Barters.
Don't worry about that. We don't use the insurance where I come from.
Pay him in wheat.
Oh, God.
Winter wheat.
So we were talking about a boxing match.
Yeah.
And somehow we got onto this.
That's all right.
No, my furnace went out. That's why I left early. But yeah.
So, well, the problem was we had all these activities planned as a family.
Yeah.
Mike bailed on one and a half of them.
Yeah, exactly.
The Unpaid Programming Podcast family all got together for a reunion.
A reunion. Yeah,
we even had a customer sweepstakes. We invited
Neil and Alicia one.
Yeah, a loyal listener.
Yeah, it was the episode 17, 45-minute reunion. But having everybody over to watch the fight, I've always kind of like thought that, you know, maybe one day when I become an adult. And I feel,
when you become an adult.
I feel like that was the moment. I thought that I had become a middle-class adult when I bought a riding lawnmower used. Mm. But no, having friends over to watch the fight was really, when I felt it brought it home, that I am truly a middle-class male adult.
You know, and good for you, because no one wanted to come over when I wanted to watch bowling.
Boo this man!
All right. Moving on.
And so, you know, everyone always complains. You know, you pay all that money for that fight. You know, they don't go on until about midnight. And that is true. The main event did not happen until about midnight Eastern Standard Time, which is probably about 6 a.m. for the Brits listen and do like boxing, which is none of them.
They had the three fights before that. They were decent fights.
Well, two of them were really good.
The undercards, that's the point I was trying to get, was the undercards were very entertaining.
They were good fights.
The first one was a scrappy Australian dude, like a little guy.
Yeah.
And then there was this
big,
gigantic, lanky, Spanish-looking fella.
Yeah.
Philippines, I believe. Philippines.
Yes, he was Filipino.
So he's Spanish and Asian looking at the same time. And he couldn't, this big lanky guy could not move his feet whatsoever. But he had, and here's this scrappy little Australian guy just, you know, weaving and bobbing and dipping and dodging and just still lost on points because the guy had the reach.
He had the reach. He could just hit him.
That one annoyed me.
He didn't even swing. He just dropped his fist on him.
Yeah.
I must crush you.
Boom.
Like a lever action.
Yeah.
Field mice bopping him on the head.
Yeah.
That was a terrible accent. I'm sorry. But the fun part about the undercards is that we don't know who any of these fucking people are.
Of course not.
So after like the first round and a half, we're kind of like all in agreement in the room who we're rooting for.
Yeah.
And that was kind of fun. And during the undercards, they kept on cutting into the locker rooms, which was the best part.
This is the best part of the whole show.
If you had seen these cuts to the locker room, you would be telling yourself, this Wilder fella.
He's going to win.
He's preparing.
And I judge that solely by the fact that the lady that was accompanying him was exponentially hotter than the lady that was accompanying Brit.
That is true.
But the difference was the lady that was accompanying the Brit, I believe, was either his wife or his life partner.
His wife, Paris.
Paris. She did not live up to that first name.
Yeah.
Do you think that's her real name?
No.
Well, you know, she's English. They have a lower standard there.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but they also
is true. She was pretty hot for, you know an English UK broad. Standards.
And Europeans don't like the French. Nobody likes the French.
side note, I was watching a show with my wife. We watched like part of one episode of this. It was one of those shows that you go on Netflix and it's the first thing you see.
Mindhunter.
No, this was called The Stranger.
The Billy Joel album.
I haven't seen this yet.
No, it was not the Billy Joel album.
It's a good album.
We were actually watching a show, not listening to music.
Oh.
Yeah. But it was a British show, and we were watching this thing, and it was, like, these people, they're supposed to be attractive, you know? Like, that's the implication that the show is making. But yeah. Because they're British, they're kind of, you know,
not, like not, they're not snaggle-tooth really. Looking motherfuckers.
And she's saying, like, they're supposed to be hotter, like, attractive or something? And I said, well, you got to understand, they are UK attractive. they're British attractive.
Yeah, it's
because it's a different, different standard.
Lower standards.
Always confuse the hell out of me because I've known quite a few Scots that I find incredibly attractive. Scottish women, especially the redheads. But
now my wife, she's a plump Scotch girl.
Anyway, I detracted the from the point.
As we were saying, if you were watching these little, you know,
Wilder backstage
vignettes, you like that word?
Yeah,
vignettes into the locker. Yeah, I'm cultured.
Yeah. We were good reading crudité actually while we were watching the fight.
So the French word.
Back to Gallagher talking about French words sounding gay. It just feels gay to say it.
And so Deontay Wilder is let's clear some things up for the listener. And
okay,
let me just, you know, just real quick.
I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
But just to visualize in your mind, Deontay Wilder is the black guy, and Tyson Fury is the larger white guy. Almost like King Hippo on Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah, that's apt.
He did look like
Which is pretty thinking, much the extent of my boxing knowledge.
I was thinking more like a bald bull, but without the facial hair.
Okay, that also works. And so Deontay Wilder, the black guy, is working out. He's stretching.
He is just prepping.
He is getting in the motherfucking zone.
He is exuding intensity.
Yeah, he was very intense.
And we're saying this guy is going to win. This is the guy who's going to win.
Meanwhile, he's focused. He's in it. And they cut into Tyson Fury's locker room. And
he's sitting around.
He's sitting around.
Yep.
He's just sitting there.
Just hanging out.
And then later on,
they cut
back to Wilder. He's pacing back and forth, you know, getting ready, you know, doing little punch moves,
doing his
little
steps.
He's on the ball. They got the guy with that pad, you know, this flat pad that he's punching, sparring up with him.
Warming up.
And then you see Tyson Fury, who is choosing a crown to wear
for his entrance.
He's trying on different crowns, picking the one that he's going to wear when he comes out.
And dry humping things.
Yes, he was also
dry humping things on camera.
He was just joking around, you know, messing around.
Yeah, he spent the entire prep time fucking around.
Wasn't he drinking beer at one point?
I think that was probably one of our jokes. Okay. I mean, I would not have been surprised to see him smoking a cigarette.
My joke was that he was gonna be. They were gonna show him at the buffet, just piling food on a plate.
Hey, it's Vegas, man.
Exactly.
Yeah,
a lot of them around. And finally, we get to the main event. It's about midnight. Mike has wandered off.
Yeah. Mike has left to his cold house.
I somehow got out and was wandering around West Newton. looking for my way home.
He got out. As we're all like circling the block, he's going, Mike, where'd you go?
Treats. I have beer.
Here, Mike. and the last time that we watched a fight, a big one, a MGM Grand Las Vegas, was actually Mayweather-Pacquiao. And that fight fucking sucked.
Yeah, that fight sucked.
It was boring as hell.
It was boring as shit.
Yeah. They were just grappling.
So a lot of people, and like I said, this happened a week ago, and even longer by the time you hear this, to actually see a fight with a result was just so nice.
Oh, there was a result.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty indisputable.
Except, yeah. We knew what the result was going to be by about the third round, I'd say.
I'd say the second round. So
maybe the second round. And the fight went seven rounds.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing was is that as we were watching these little vignettes, into the locker rooms, I had originally gone in pulling for Tyson Fury because of his just story.
Yeah.
And then I see him not doing shit in the locker rooms.
Were you pulling for him just because he was white?
I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
Yeah.
No.
I was pulling for him because he was fat.
I was actually pulling.
That was my excuse, goddammit.
Well, I was pulling for Wilder just because he was actually, like, preparing.
I had flipped.
The guy. This is the guy. He's putting in the work.
Yeah. I had flipped to that point. And then the entrances happened. So Tyson Fury.
You changed your mind again.
I changed my mind again because Tyson Fury is being rolled out on this giant stage wearing the goddamn crowns he was trying on.
And robe. Don't forget his robe.
And the big robe to Patsy Cline's Crazy.
And he's singing along.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
Yeah, that was great. They wheeled him out to a certain point, and then he stands up and faces the crowd, and he's just singing
crazy.
To himself. He's singing to himself along with the song.
I the only word I could describe for that entrance is advanced.
Yes, but it was very advanced. But I do want to point out something.
And I flip back to Tyson Fury at that point.
I want to point out something. So he was being wheeled out on this big platform. It was there was a throne on top, and he was wearing the royal robe, and he had the crown on it and everything. And he's sitting on this throne, and this thing was being wheeled out by these girls with large breasts.
Oh yeah,
yes, very attractive, broads.
Clad women with large breasts.
Vegas, baby,
and. So on Thursday, John was describing this to someone else, and he said that they were being wheeled out by men, because John's gay. Because he was wishing.
That's what he wanted to
see. He was actually wishing that they were men.
Oh no! I'd rather not. Oh no, I don't want.
I'm not a racist. Oh, that's what's shit. So insane about this.
You.
That too.
Wait, hold on.
No!
All right,
we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
I like how you just had to point that out. You realized that I didn't have to drive that night, so I was drinking heavily to prepare for
exactly.
that fight.
Exactly, and you were just fantasizing about the, you were like, what are these women doing?
No.
But at that point, after that entrance, I had flipped. Back to Tyson Fury.
Oh, back to not being gay anymore?
You can do that?
Oh, no.
I mean, you're over here using words
like
doing
Gallagher.
It's cool, man. It's 21st century. We accept it.
So
we were watching Gallagher, and he was talking about the French words and how they sound gay, and you were sitting there thinking,
I'm writing shit down.
I should start using some of these.
Raison d'etre.
I love it.
So what had happened? So now everybody in the room is all on the same side.
Yeah, we're all pulling for Fury.
Not me. I was still going for the black guy because he came out.
He has a name, Jeff.
I know, but are we going to ignore his entrance? He had this ridiculous costume on he looked like a World of Warcraft character, and it had like lights and stuff.
Can I pause you for a moment there?
It's basically a big like a black suit of armor that was really cool looking.
So. Yeah. Let me pause you. This came out this week. Is that because Wilder had lost, he is blaming that costume
because it weighed like 40 pounds. Yeah, 40 pounds, he said. I got no legs left. But here's what stupid. I had a problem with during his entrance.
He walked like 50 feet with the costume on.
I think he had it on for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
He's just making excuses.
Yeah, but that's
what boxers
do. He would have lost the fight.
Here's the big problem I had with it was. He's coming out, to honor all these black heroes. It's Black History Month.
Yeah, that was kind of silly.
He's honoring all these black heroes like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Medgar Everett, whatever. Mm. And of all the people that he didn't honor, where was Jack Johnson, the first black heavyweight champion?
Yeah. Where was Bill Cosby?
Where was
fucking jail?
In jail.
Where was Grant Fuhr in all this?
I don't think he was too much aware of the history of hockey.
But just of all the people to skip.
was Ali on that little
photo
board?
No, he wasn't on it either.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, and I'm thinking
there
to myself,
there were no black
boxers.
Yeah, no boxers. And most of them that were great are black.
Well, okay, but even the ones that were culturally important, like Jack Johnson
and Ali
for just busting through the color barrier, and Ali for standing up for against the Vietnam War.
I ain't going to Vietnam.
Yeah, and how about there were three of them that were there. There
Lennox Lewis was there doing commentary
before the fight. Yeah. Evander Holyfield
was there.
And guess what? They were friendly with each other. Tyson and Holyfield.
Oh yeah, that was nice.
Hands.
Yeah. That was nice. Yeah. Well, yeah. Tyson's mellowed the fuck out a lot.
Yeah,
mostly his pigeons have helped him out.
What's that?
His pigeons have helped him out a lot.
Well, not only that, I think it's also marijuana.
Well,
yeah,
that'll do it.
Yeah, it will mellow you out.
So, to the actual fight itself.
Yes.
We saw a little bit back and forth between the first two rounds, maybe.
Yeah, first round and a half, I'd say, was kind of back and
forth. Okay, it's a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Feeling each other out.
Yeah, feeling each other out. And then, but after a little while, Fury's just coming. He's just coming.
He was getting the shots in.
Yeah.
Well,
he was advancing on Wilder, as that was the thing. He wasn't backing up. He made Wilder back up.
And apparently Wilder didn't expect that because in the last fight, Fury...
He had hung back, and the funny thing about this, I only found out not that long ago after the fight was over, was that Tyson Fury was saying all week, I'm going to come at him.
Yeah.
And Wilder was like, no, he ain't.
Yeah, because he thought, oh, Fury will be scared of my big knockout blow like what happened last time.
See, here was the difference in preparation.
Yeah.
Wilder was like, I'm going to do my stretches and my sparring and all that stuff. And Wilder was, Fury was like, I'm going to make a decision.
Yeah.
That's all I need to do in preparation for this fight.
Oh, yeah. And if you have a coin.
Yeah, right, cunt.
Yeah.
And so what happened in the third round was Fury landed a blow to Wilder's ear.
Yeah.
And then Wilder was bleeding out of his ear.
Yeah.
And from that point on...
That was it. It was a four-round massacre after
that. No, he wasn't bleeding out of his ear. He had a cut.
Oh, he had a cut.
Yeah, he had a cut on the outside of his ear. That's what it was. It wasn't actually coming from inside his head.
Well, you know, you never know these guys.
I think
if
that happened, they would probably stop the fight.
Well, his balance looked really bad.
Yeah, even still, you get clocked in the air, whether or not you're bleeding or not, it's going to throw you off. And then
absolutely.
No balance whatsoever.
Absolutely, yeah, it's going
to
fuck you up.
And since footwork is so important to boxers, unless you're that tall, lanky guy we saw that one.
Yeah, you got to float like a butterfly.
Sting like
a tree.
Tree.
Yeah, sting like a butterfly.
Like a wasp. Yes. Stinging. Stinging,
yeah, I've had
nettles.
I've had the vertigo.
I got a sting like a stinger. Like a stinger.
Oh, that's
sting?
What he says. Yeah. That's what he says.
What he says.
Something like that. Anyway, yeah, what we saw was a four-round massacre.
Well, the fight, what we started doing was, I mean, round everything after that.
Because
now Fleury is landing, you know, landing punches to the head. Blam, blam. You know, blam, blam. A few at a time. And we all kind of reverted to Howard Cosell during the Muhammad Ali-Larry Holmes fight. Where Larry Holmes just beat the piss out of Muhammad Ali because he was like 60.
Yeah.
Stop the fight.
For God's sake. Stop the fight.
Stop the fight.
And eventually the Wilder side threw in the towel in round seven.
Yeah, but
threw the towel into the
they
ring.
They threw the towel in, but Wilder's going, what the hell? Why did he stop the fight?
Because you were going down, you dumb fuck.
Because you were losing for the last four rounds.
Because
this is America.
Getting the shit beat out of you.
If they left you in there, you'd be eating from a tube.
Including, I believe, in round six, where Wilder did not land one punch.
Did he not land one?
He did not land one punch in round six.
Entire round.
Yeah.
See, this is why I have Lawrence around a lot, is because
he is very. He catalogs.
Right.
He catalogs.
He catalogs because he's sober. Like I said, I didn't have to drive. So I drank like I didn't have to drive. And so now Lawrence is providing us all these details that I should have remembered, but I didn't have to drive.
That's why I can never remember taping these podcasts.
How is that not fair?
Because I don't want to be sober, goddammit.
I know that. But you made that decision 10 years ago, and what do you want me to do about it?
Yeah, I know. I also don't want to die either.
But I've asked you this before. So you have the willpower to not drink at all. Why not? Why don't you have the willpower to drink, like, two beers?
Well, I don't like beer.
Oh, okay. Well, two screwdrivers. Can you drink two screwdrivers and call it a night?
I probably could now, but the problem is I fucked my gut up so badly.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you know what? That was your mistake.
You don't want to be Lawrence's toilet.
Two glasses of Merlot.
What about it?
Yeah, but then we'd make fun of him for being a French faggy kind of guy.
Yeah, he'd be in John's camp.
I'm not drinking some
Merlot.
No. I'm not drinking some faggy red wine.
I actually really like a nice red wine, so I should say.
Yeah, we can say faggy because Gallagher said it.
Yeah, makes it okay.
Yeah, I'll know.
God.
Like how Gallagher has empowered the show.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I mean, let's be honest here, okay? When we saw Gallagher, there are comedians who are edgy and, you know, non-PC.
Anthony Jeselnik comes to mind.
Yeah, but there are still certain things that they wouldn't say. Even
right.
Though they're on the forefront of the, you know, edgy comic. Gallagher actually says things that you're really not supposed to say anymore, and it's hilarious. It's amazing. I love it.
Because he's playing a bowling alley in Baldwin.
With Valley Park?
It was not just a bowling alley. Not just
We got into this on the last show we did.
Not just a bowling alley.
But yeah, I must admit, it had been about 10 years since I heard something described as faggy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, he used the word faggy.
And when you haven't heard an adjective like that in 10 years, it really lands.
Yeah.
I know. It was great. I loved it.
So did I. And he smashed some shit.
Yes, he did smash things. I have video of it.
Here's the watermelon. Here's the hammer. Okay.
All right. We did that last episode.
Yes. Boo this man!
That's all right. I'm going to edit that out, you know. So have your fun.
The power of the edit.
Better not.
You two boys, fuck right off.
So we saw the fight. It was fun. Mike didn't.
No, but I watched the highlights on the YouTubes.
Well, that's good.
It's entertaining.
Oh, by the way, all you guys owe me $15.
But why?
I have to make my money back on the fight.
We didn't discuss. You know, you should have made a bet. That's how you make your money back, you pussy.
Bet on the white guy.
Yeah.
I'll give you $9 since I didn't stay for the main event.
I'm just joshing you. I was happy to do it.
The Iron City I took from your fridge at night. So.
Well, now that's what you owe for.
No, I believe in hospitality.
And
the beer is free.
Speaking of which, now I am not chastising anybody at all for showing up empty-handed as far as snacks go because it was late.
You came up with that idea like 5 minutes before the fight started, basically.
Exactly. But the funny thing was Doug, our older brother, who we have ripped on the show plenty of times, because he doesn't listen, showed up with an item, but all it was just cheese.
it was just a big tray of just cubes of different cheeses.
Now, I understand not wanting to show up empty-handed.
It is an odd choice.
But half-assed, not empty-handed?
That's like showing up to the potluck and having an open container of napkins where half the napkins are missing.
But it's not even half-assed. Half-assed would be you go to the store and get the Gibson tray with the cheeses and the meats and stuff.
Yeah.
It was just an odd choice. It was an odd choice.
Just slices of American cheese that were unopened.
All right, you guys are gonna have to open it yourselves.
You bring just a package of crap singles,
like three missing,
and one package of partially open Hormel pepperoni, and no crackers.
Well, hey, you know what? You bring a half a pound of Land O'Lakes American and a half a pound of maybe a quarter pound of salami. There's your snack right there. You roll them up together.
You know what? I agree.
I'm having a good fucking time!
Hell yeah.
There you go.
I agree. That's one of the greatest treats of all time.
Yeah. And if you're not into the salami, maybe a slice of bologna.
Yeah, if you're a fucking loser.
I like bologna.
I like bologna too, but salami's the superior product.
All right, well, let's go halfway. Cotto salami.
All right. All right.
Some of you guys who can afford your salami. we grew up on the Spam and the bologna. The Magna.
Mike's living on head cheese.
The white bread. that the Wick would give us.
Hey, we were Wick babies, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were on the
Wick. I don't really judge
you. We all Wick babies?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, look at us broke-ass motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? I think...
You think?
Yeah.
Therefore,
that's
I
all
am.
I got.
I think we should point out to our friends in the UK that WIC is a program called Women, Infants, and Children that provides welfare to women, infants, and children.
Who are poor.
You get a check that gives you certain items from the grocery store.
And if you go to the Peachins, you can buy all kinds of shit.
You take a WIC check to the Peachins.
Take a WIC check
to Peachins. You got $5 you're eating for a week at Peachins.
6 months worth of food for us, man.
This is not an exaggeration.
I'm so sad.
Peachins had the 17-cent hamburger.
And 5-cent coffee. And,
That was the greatest moment for me since I've moved back to Pennsylvania, is finding Pittsburghers who knew what the fuck Peachins was.
Because I mentioned it to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, now Peachins has since burned down.
Yes, it's burned to the ground. Which is crazy because there was literally a creek that ran underneath of the store.
And sometimes it would flood.
Sometimes it would flood. If I had it, take it off.
I once was eating in that cafeteria and we saw a roach right on the table. I never wanted to go back after that.
They named it,
you know.
Extra protein.
It was on the table. Was it in your food? What's the problem?
No, it wasn't in the food.
Exactly.
That's just Larry. Don't mind him.
That's Larry the Roach.
He's litter trained.
Larry the Roach, meet Lawrence the Fat Man. I'm so sad they weren't around.
What's
when
your
I was
record for 17-cent hamburgers?
That's
eight.
Six. Okay, so eight.
Yeah. Eight was the record for me. Yeah.
I don't understand how you come up with that kind of pricing, because even if you do the math of cost, like the bun alone is probably costs more than
17
cents.
Well, you know they were kind several of, days old.
And what kind of bulk pricing do you have? Because
you still had to buy it, you know?
I have no idea. If we had a staff, they could figure it out behind the scenes and then get back to us.
Do some math.
I think they made most of their money off that horrible grocery store they had.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Which I'm sad that the place had burned down before I was, you know, before I started college, because that would have been
They didn't have any bags. They just had the California grape boxes.
Well, I could have just, you know, on my off days, gone to the cafeteria and just ate.
Yeah,
and threw everything in the car and come back.
Golly, we would go with my grandmother, who would seriously, because she lived on Sugarloaf Mountain, which was that's where my daddy grew up near
with
Ohio.
My grandma and the colored balloons.
I was going to say,
if I was going to end with folk.
Yeah, she didn't.
I changed my mind because I realized they probably don't live on Sugarloaf
Mountain. No, they don't. It was literally just my grandparents that lived on Sugarloaf Mountain. But she would take us and she would eat a meal while she was there, just picking grapes and picking apples and whatever the fuck she could pick out of the boxes. And then she would pay me $1 to help her shop. Which at the time, even I was like, Grandma, this isn't I'm here for 3 hours. This is not worth it. And she'd be like, yeah, but this is like 75% of our grocery budget. So this is all I can pay you.
This is $1.75. Here you go. Have fun.
Daughter, help her shop.
While she's chawing snuff.
Your grandma had paper currency.
Paper currency.
I don't have that out your way.
Pictures of FDR on it.
Only gold is what we do around here.
She pays them in quality soil.
Hey,
she was paying in like the old colonial currency. That
Continental dollars.
Yeah,
Continental dollars.
Barter sheep fur and or sheep.
Federal Reserve notes.
I'm not going to get into that one. There's a conspiracy theory amongst my family. It's actually not even conspiracy theory. My grandparents grew up during the Depression, so they were paranoid of banks, even though they didn't have any money in the first place. So I don't know why they were paranoid.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So they never really were that affected.
We're gonna lose all our money that we don't have.
They did. She buried
gold.
Yeah,
like a pirate.
And there was like this treasure map that we used to have.
Holy shit!
For a tree that had a naughty tree that had this money.
You're gonna find grandma's treasure.
Well, and so we used to joke around about this, and eventually we came to the realization that even if we did find it, it may have like $120 in it. That was their life savings. Yeah, what was the point?
Is that beautiful? That really is beautiful.
God, we were so poor.
Well, I think on that note of our collective poverty.
Hey, he is now a doctor of industrial arts.
Well, not yet.
He is now a candidate for doctor of industrial arts.
So on that note, I think we'll be right back.
After
this.
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 This. Damn it.
And now, after an unusual shopping trip, here's Andy Rudy.
I can still remember a time when the idea of the female orgasm was considered a myth, or at the very least, not something you discussed at the dinner table. Speaking of which, when the natural aging process led to my erectile dysfunction, I made use of the old dinner table by cutting one of the legs off to stand in for my now decommissioned member. But looking at it now with its slight warp and stripped varnish, I thought it might be time to replace it with something that was actually made for the job. Finding the kind of place where I could buy such a product turned out to be the easy part. These stores post billboards along the interstate, enticing truck drivers with adult books, movies, and pay-by-the-minute video rooms. My condolences to the janitor. But they also carry an array of products that one might use for a fun weekend, or in my case, as a solution to impotence. You'd think that such a business selling implements of gratification would be housed in a building that reflects its role in the bedroom. But I couldn't tell if I was walking into an adult novelty store or a bait shop. The dark wood paneled facade didn't help to get my juices flowing, though in fairness, that's no longer an easy task. As I perused the aisle of plastic genitalia, I had a new appreciation for the discriminating preferences of the female orifice. I was bombarded by an endless selection of sizes, shapes, textures, and even colors. I didn't know there were eyes in there. Many of these were reasonably sized and mostly smooth on the surface, while others were comically large or were paid attention to detail worthy of a spot in the Louvre. I even took the time to switch on some of the electronic items. These models have battery-powered motors that produce vibrations and gyrations, There was one in particular that I thought about taking home for hammering nails. At the end of the aisle stood a female mannequin equipped with a bright blue rod of silicon protruding from a special belt. I wish I'd known about this contraption before I had both hips replaced. But even after a long 2 hours of handling the dozens of artificial body parts that would put most men to shame, I was even more clueless than when I went in about how to replace the time-tested table leg, which I brought along with me for comparison. So I left the non-air-conditioned, diesel-scented shack and went home to my garage, where I got out my belt sander and a new can of varnish.
Hey! And we're back.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
And so, with this, we have, I want to introduce Mike of our show.
Mike. Of our show.
Mike, thanks for having me on, guys.
Member of the show.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
No, Mike, as a professor of industrial arts, I'm just joshing around. I understand that you have a story.
Hey, professor's a professor. Mike, why don't you wear a robe and mortarboard all the time?
The fuck is that?
You know, like,
you know, the
like
graduation
the graduation cap.
Oh.
Or you move your tassel from the left to the right.
I think you should wear that during, like, for all your classes.
Well, you know, and I didn't realize this, but the tradition is whatever your highest attained degree is, you're supposed to wear your robes from that for a commencement ceremony. So in December, I was asked to do like a little thing for commencement for our one graduate.
Our one graduate.
I never bought commencement robes.
Oh.
I had my ones. Yeah, so.
You should wear your outfit singing the rocking the alphabet.
Yeah, once in a.
B A B B A B B I B Q I B. Okay, that's enough.
It's enough out of you. Now, occasionally I'll wear a polo, but that's about as far.
You don't have a cap and gown.
I have ours from Cal, what's left of it. But our, well,
what's
you remember
left
the,
of it?
The day we graduated, it was windy as shit.
That is true.
Yeah, and so I lost my cap, at one point in time, after the ceremony.
God
so.
Damn it, boy, where is your cap?
Damn it, boy, you ain't got no hair.
That cost me 2 bits.
2 bits.
I had to trade in the best hog. Pay for your damn last seamaster.
Seamaster.
Your dad had to work on other people's trailers building crooked rooms to buy the graduation.
Pay for your schooling, boy.
Somebody paid me 75 cents an hour for this.
But
you had a story.
We joke about it.
Yeah, Mike, you had a story.
Shut up! Quiet! Yeah. I said quiet!
Yeah, damn it. Damn it, boys. Now, this...
What's the matter? You thief or something?
We really could just record my dad saying that. It'd be fitting as hell. Now, this one, there was such a positive reaction, I felt like, from last week's sharing of my humiliating and terrifying...
You mean hot?
Yeah. Deutschland erotica.
It was a little warm in here. Jeff was...
Except for the part where Mike's stupid dad had to interrupt everything.
And then everything.
And ruin it for Mike.
Yeah. I always wondered if my dad, you know, kind of... fantasize.
He did it on purpose.
Yeah, he kind of knew. He could smell it.
Darn tootin'.
Boy, I can smell the intercourse.
Smells like jizz in here. Smells like oil penetration.
It smells like the shacks in the Vietnam that I used to go into. Oh, that's awesome. That ain't kosher. Ah, no. So this one's a little different.
All right.
But, that is a genuine piece of Alabama black.
Oh, that. We got to get that for the soundboard. I like that. Oh, yeah.
That ain't kosher,
yeah. No, but I feel like you guys will appreciate this one. I always describe this one as being second fiddle to the other story that I shared, so it's a temper expectations here.
Okay.
But I think you'll appreciate it
even
nonetheless. As many of you know, and as many of our regular listeners know, my first job at 17 was working on a sawmill because I graduated high school with absolutely no transferable skills, and I was bad at math. So I couldn't...
I, therefore, we made the subject fun.
The running gag on the show is that Mike is bad at math.
Yeah. And I used to teach math, and it's terrifying to think what I did to those poor little shits.
Well, don't you have an answer key for all that stuff?
Yeah, Pearson used to provide
one. Oh, the magic of the teacher's edition.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Now, Mike, back to your sawmill. Because you came from such a backwards town. Was this one of those sawmills that has a big water wheel outside?
Yes.
Really? Yes, really?
It was... It was no longer functional, but yeah, it actually was. Which it's never made sense because there was no water source anywhere nearby.
They upgraded to steam.
We upgraded to steam.
The steam the year before.
Corn, we burned corn cobs from the local crops. The fibrous discharges from all the farm girls powered the. We actually had a neighbor who was a rather large girl named Betsy.
Betsy.
Yeah.
So Betsy, when she had a case of the corn cobs. Yeah. They brought her down to the sub.
She had the triple C disease.
They had her squat over the boiler.
Yeah.
There was some guy with a shovel. She had her legs spread, and he's holding a shovel underneath, waiting for the fibrous discharge.
Nah, that shovel. We had her squat
classic
over.
Case of the corn cunt.
Just had her squat over the shaker, the shaker chute there. Kind of sounds like a machine gun going off.
Oh, come on, Betsy, we need a few more.
That's the field corn, Betsy. We need the sweet corn.
Well, 7 be enough, Bob.
Oh my god.
Holy fuck.
So sorry to my to our rural listeners, which I'm pretty sure just accounts for one, but even still. So anyway, it was electric powered. We'd upgraded somewhere around 1997, so
from the corn cob
power. Yeah. But we always, in being this area, the population of Somerset County was something in the ballpark of like 98% white non-Hispanic. And the other 2% were just people who probably marked the census incorrectly because they were illiterate.
Only 2% were illiterate. That's a low estimation.
Well, most of the people who were illiterate just didn't do it. They weren't trusting of the government when they came to the door.
Yeah, so, the census man.
Yeah, my property.
Thank God. Maniac.
Yeah, that's about right. I'm still convinced that the people who voted for Obama in our jurisdiction just couldn't read whenever 2008 rolled around.
They wrote in the colored guy.
Yeah,
in
the colored mailer. Yeah, still got to tell my...
I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
Yeah, I'm riding it. Yeah. I don't care.
Everyone's getting a workout.
I am dying on this hill tonight.
Yeah.
Seems like...
I'd have to explain to my parents when they'd come visit us in D.C. that was not the PC term. Because my parents are lovely. I mean, they're very open people. They just don't realize that colored is not the appropriate term to describe a person who was African-American.
Right. I believe
they went from saying colored to whispering black.
Yeah.
Or Negro.
That guy's black.
He's an Afro-American.
Now, my mom walked over in a metro station
once. I guess at least
you're
not saying Negro.
That's a step up. But my mom walked over to me once, and she was like, that was the nicest colored fella I think I ever talked to. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Mom, we're going to get fucking shot.
Wow, our grandma said same thing.
No, she didn't.
Almost the exact same. Yeah, no, that's right. That's not what she said. She had a couple of black friends at the
We had to put her in a home.
Yeah, she was in a home, and she made friends with a couple of black gentlemen.
Well, okay, here's what happened. So the first week we were there, we go to visit our grandma, and she goes, there's blacks here.
Okay.
Three of them.
No, she counted the black people. She did her own census.
She did her own census.
More accurate than our census,
right,
probably.
Probably. She checked the boxes.
And she only had about 3 or 4 marbles left rolling around.
Yeah.
But the funny thing was after another week, we had to go visit her. The black people were her friends, and those are the only ones that she liked.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we'd be wheeling her around, and she's like, him, no. Her, no. And then we wheel her outside. There's a black guy. One of the three black guys smoking a cigarette going, hey, there's my anime. This is my friend. This is my grandson. Turns out you can overturn racism in about a week and a half.
Yeah, it doesn't really take too
And what long. She yeah. said right after that when we were away from them, those are the nicest Negroes I've ever met.
Oh, grandma. So my grandma, whenever we put her in the home, she would have an accident or two occasionally, and we would always try to help her. And
so she shit her pants.
She shit her. Well, see, my favorite memory of my grandmother
was
is coming
her
in,
pants?
And it involves shitting her pants.
That's
yeah,
your
and
favorite.
No, trust.
Memory?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other option was going to Peachins and getting paid 75 cents for slave labor. I didn't have a lot of choices. But we went in once and asked her, said, Grandma, said, how you did? She had the Alzheimer's pretty bad, so she was starting to lose it. And I just remember her being like, oh, boy, I shit a blue streak. We was like, what? And she was like, I shit a blue streak. I was like, what the? Anyway, so getting back to
the sawmill.
Please rest your sphincters.
And getting back to this, because John said overturning racism in about a week. We had anecdotal evidence to the contrary on the sawmill. So we were there, you know, and being that the government said you had to be an equal opportunity employer, we had a...
Goddamn affirmative action.
Yeah, goddamn affirmative. But we had an opening.
It's a bitch, ain't it?
Sawmill, and they paid like $7.25 an hour, so nobody wanted to fucking work there. And so we had one guy.
Yeah, but when we were in high school, that was good money.
Oh yeah, my first year working, I was excited to have made that.
I'm so excited to make minimum wage.
I remember. Well, no, it wasn't minimum wage back then. Minimum wage was $5.15.
Really? Was it? Was it?
Yeah, it was $5.15 because I remember someone talking about how they made $6.50 an hour, and I'm like,
wow.
Where are you making $6.50 an hour at? I want to work there.
Oh,
I was thinking $5.35.
Oh, Jeff and I's high school jobs. We were both cashiers at the local grocery store, Giant Eagle.
Giant Eagle.
It was $5.40 an hour. We're like, $5.90 on Sundays. Oh, holy shit! You are fucking rolling it.
Yeah. I'm having a good fucking time. But anyway, we had the black guy. So we had a black guy who applied, and the reason, and there was a connection. Because everybody knows each other in these kind of neighborhoods.
Oh yeah.
And so it was some relation to my brother's in-laws. She had met this guy on the internet. He was from New Jersey, and we were like 98% sure that he was evading some kind of police action. Just not because he was black. Promise I'm not racist.
You sure?
No, we're pretty sure because after he went back to New Jersey, he got arrested. So, you know, we were pretty confident on that one. But him being the only black man in Somerset County.
The one black guy.
He applies to the... We give him the job because he literally is the only guy who applied and we were shorthanded. And he was... We wanted so badly. Not we. I wanted so badly because I wasn't a racist dick. Everyone else there was expecting him and trying to set him up for failure. I wanted him so badly to not be bad. And he was so fucking terrible at this job, which it's not a hard job. It's just a physical labor job, but he just couldn't wrap his head around
okay,
how to do it.
Here's the wood. You cut the wood.
That's it, yeah.
Do you have any questions?
You slide the wood down the line to the next guy who also cuts the wood.
You cut it first, and then he'll cut it again.
So what was happening to him was like a Lucy with the chocolate situation?
Yeah, that would definitely a fish out of water scenario. Yeah. But his name was Richard, and it didn't help that he was, you know, the black guy named Dick, which didn't bode well.
Did he
for
go
him.
By Dick, or is like, call me Richard, man?
Dick. He wanted to go by Richard, but everybody else was like, nah, we're going to call you our, you know,
we're going to call you Dick.
We're going to call you Dick.
Nah, man, it's Richard.
Nah, man, it's
no,
Richard.
It's, nah, Dick, it's Dick, boy.
Who are you calling boy?
So, Richard.
I'm a man.
I really,
Mr. Bunker. I'm a man.
Damn, banana, no.
I do want to make sure that I paint the gentleman accurately, because he was
what
legitimately
do you mean by
terrible.
Paint? Excuse me?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. There was no white face involved.
Maybe like grease paint or something?
Grease
is that what you're getting at, Mike?
Grease paint.
No, I want to make sure that I appropriately pass on his personality, because he was terrible. He was an obnoxious guy. He really wasn't an endearing person to be a representative.
He was a
cocksucker. Yeah, he was kind of a cocksucker.
So he was a black dick, is what
he was
saying.
A black dick. Yeah, he really was, quite literally. And
let's just be clear, Mikey was rooting for him.
I was rooting for him.
Yeah,
I was really.
Yeah,
was.
He said that. We don't need to.
He was the anti-racist.
Well, sometimes you just have to reiterate these points, just in case someone pops in this episode.
Yeah.
50 minutes in.
When I'm running for Washington County Treasurer in 17 years.
Well,
also, sure
you know, with our UK listenership, you know, the way things are over there as far as speech, they like to ruin each other's lives.
So. Good point.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, totally different from what happens here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, I guess we do have some of that going on here. You are right.
Now that I think of it.
But, oh boy, in the UK, you better not misgender someone. Holy shit.
That's just in London, though. You get outside of
London. No, there's actually, like, legal ramifications for it. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the Tories are in charge, so don't worry about it.
So enough of my UK rant.
Yeah.
But we get into the meat of my story here.
Yes.
And I do mean meat. And I do mean meat, yes. One day Richard goes...
Are you listeners noticing a pattern here?
There's an allusion to what is coming here. So we Richard...
Something I was supposed to tiptoe around.
Yeah. Penis. So one day, actually not even one day, Richard disappears. You know, he goes
Update.
Away quite frequently. Usually at like... like 11:30, about a half hour before lunchtime, before break time. He just disappears, and we have this little woodshed out in the middle of the lumberyard where all the logs are gathered.
Big purple shed.
It was red.
With Rufus paint on the side. You find another shed with Chaka Khan paint on the side. You've gone too far. Go back
to the previous shed.
There's two of them. It can be quite confusing for someone who's not familiar with the area.
Yeah.
That is accurate. There were two sheds.
I'd say Rocco's Modern.
Yeah.
We didn't have Chaka Khan painted on either of them, but that was accurate. But anyway, Richard disappears. And so one day, it's about 15 minutes till lunchtime, and I get the task of going out to the shed. Because eventually we're just like, you know what? We're kind of better off with that.
Because there's two of them. Yeah. Ooh, quite confusing. Ooh.
So I'm like, well, which shed, you know?
Can I make a guess of what happened?
I'm afraid you're going to guess correctly. But yes.
If you guess correctly, you step on over the whole story.
That's true. All right, I'm going
to
leave it alone.
Just hold on to it and let us know if you were.
There isn't subtlety with this.
I'm
going to
write it down. I'm
going to
write my guess down.
He's going to write it down. He's writing it down.
Fold
now.
It and put it in a hat.
I'm going to make a motion.
Oh, no, not even close to that.
Whoa, wow. Okay.
Far more.
Okay, I have one more. One more.
Ah, closer. Yeah, that's definitely closer.
All right.
Now, so Jeff did guess correctly with the second one there. So we're walking out here, and I'm to go to the shed to get a chainsaw and some gasoline because I don't remember why. It's been like 18 years. Mm-hmm. And so I go into the shed and I open the door, and there I find Richard with his hog out. Going to town using the chainsaw, the bar oil, for lubricant.
What?
Would you? What?
Yes.
Yes. Isn't that an ear tag?
I can't imagine it was
holy shit.
Particularly comfortable.
I was going to say, would you call it a gut wrench?
I would call it a buh.
Well, hold on a minute now. What weight is bar oil?
It's probably just 10W30. It wasn't anything special.
Oh,
you know.
God.
It wasn't particularly viscous.
I want to point out that my first guess was I made a sleepy motion, and then my second guess.
Oh no!
My second guess was a jerk off motion.
Yes, and the jerk off was
that was guess number two, and it turned out to be right.
I'm having a good fucking time.
Oh well, Black Dick sure was.
Yeah, he was. I don't know though. Using that oil was lube. I can't imagine that would be very pleasant.
Well, and so I turned around, and that's this.
And he went, "Oh my god!"
Now
he was jerking off with kerosene.
You know, I was trying.
No, he just kept on stroking, looking Mikey in the eye, like, "What are you gonna do, boy?"
Well, and that
and Mikey
was...
said, "Don't call me boy, boy," and he said, "Don't call me boy, boy."
If I catch you whacking in here again, I'm gonna hog tie.
That's the guy that's always whacking off with my chain oil.
God dang it, that is good oil.
Dang it,
I tell you what.
Good propane.
Whacking off of my wood mill shit. No. Different character.
So I turn around and run away.
Oh no! I'd rather not.
That is a long
one. So I turn around and run away, and Richard runs after me with his pants still around his ankles.
Wait a minute! You don't understand!
Well, and it came out later. He tried to explain to me why this was... He never tried to deny it. He just tried to explain to me that his girlfriend, which
I'm under a lot of stress here.
I mean, his girlfriend was hideous. Like, and the woman that who was my in-laws... And she really did have both the face and the personality of a fucking pit bull.
So that was
sir, I don't like it.
And no,
that
he
was
did not
the excuse
like it,
was that he had an ugly girlfriend.
He had an ugly girlfriend, and I was like, look, I get it, and I agree. I wouldn't want to touch that thing with
my dick
either.
I mean, that's an excuse for having to jerk off all the time, but not for jerking off at work.
Yeah, you couldn't wait 6 hours until you got home. Like,
you know,
she's there. You don't understand.
She won't have a morning or something.
But he wasn't, you know, he
if I start jerking off, she'll want to participate.
He eventually gets his britches back up, you know? I get back up.
Oh, yeah, but...
We chastised Lawrence for saying trousers. And here you were whipping out britches.
Whipping out britches, yeah. So I eventually get back inside, and I'm traumatized. This is the second traumatizing event that's happened in my young 18-year-old life. And I mean, horrifyingly, traumatizing. And he's chasing after me, dick still kind of hanging out, britches around his ankles.
Hard as a rock.
And, you know, he finally gets his pants pulled back up. And I run inside, and the only thing that anybody else at the sawmill catches of this story as I'm running back inside is him running after me yelling, "Please don't tell anybody!" And so...
Shut up! Quiet!
Now, there's a part to this story, though, that gets even better. And I want you guys to visualize something. I want you to visualize Lawrence with shorter hair and a mustache.
I've just been visualizing the big black cock the entire time.
Well, yeah. The big black cock guy. He's
It's not the
All right. This is a different guy.
All right. So what happened to him after he chased you back into the sauna with a total fucking rod and his pants down, so that particular rod is on display?
Did he have the rod while he was chasing you?
Yes, but he got it back up before we got inside. So he did at least
Thank God for that.
He got it back up.
Well, he got his pants. He got his britches.
A guy could get fired for that, you know.
I probably should have. Why they didn't fire him at this point, I don't know. Because, again, he didn't deny it.
I'll tell you why. Because at least he tried to use the comfort and privacy of the purple chair.
That's true. He didn't do it like right on the, like the line there, you know, with the saw and everything.
Well, I told him, you know, we had a porch.
That would be dangerous
to
get your dick cut off.
He could.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, maybe to his, you know, fairness to him, maybe there wasn't anything in the employee handbook that said you can't jerk off in the tool shed.
Yeah. We didn't have an employee handbook.
So now we have no such thing as sexual harassment around here.
Now we have a sign in the shed that says no jerking off.
He wasn't in trouble for jerking off. He was only in trouble for wasting chain oil.
I mean, probably, honestly. Shit ain't cheap. The husk of Arna, she needs her oil.
That shit ain't cheap.
That shit ain't cheap, boy. But this the one guy I worked with, whose name is Sammy, and I describe him as being, I've never met another human being who looks more like an animal than this guy looks like a groundhog. So, like, he's about the size of Lawrence. He's a big dude, and he had this creepy fucking 80s mustache, and he had snaggle teeth, and he just looked like a fucking groundhog. Everything he did kind of was like... Yeah, like, you know, he's
Did you often find him,
did you call him Bucky?
Actually, we called him Reverend.
Was it because he was always gnawing on the wood?
He was... Yeah, he was kind of like a beaver.
Just gnawing.
Bark. Fibrous discharge. So,
that's where the fibrous discharge came from, because he was always gnawing on the wood.
But he came up to me one day, and this is out of the blue. You know, I'm running the planer, which is like the first step in our manufacturing process there, and he walks up to me. He waddles up to me because he doesn't, you know, he's a big guy, he just waddles. And he just pushes up his glasses. Yeah, it's about right, yeah. And he looks at me, and he decides he's going to share a rhyme with me. And everybody thought this was the greatest rhyme in the world, because even though Richard eventually did quit out of humiliation, he worked there for another 2 or 3 weeks before finally he was like, all right, I don't want to do this. But I was stuck with
everybody
the fact that I was...
with my dick.
Yeah, I was stuck as the guy who saw the black guy's dick. So this followed me.
How big was it?
Oh, yeah. The horrific questions that followed.
They were all asking about his dick because the entire sawmill was gay.
I mean, quite a few of them probably were closeted, yeah. But
squeal for my boy!
Squeal for my little piggy.
So tell me more about this.
Somebody go get Betsy.
Tell me more about Black Betsy.
So that big fat guy was like, who looked like the groundhog, he was like Ned Beatty.
Yeah, yes, that's probably happy. Yeah. I don't know who that is.
He was the fat guy in Deliverance who they made.
Oh,
like
yeah, yeah. Oh. That is actually pretty good. Sammy walks over me and he just decides to literally shuts down the entire process. Like, turns off the planer, turns off it, so everybody can hear him. And it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And so he has a rhyme that he wants to share with me.
A rhyme.
He's
going to rap now.
Now, keep this in mind.
Name Richard.
You're close. You're very close.
Oh, God.
Less creative, but very close. Now, we call him Reverend because at the time he was studying to become an ordained minister, and that's what he does now in Newstead. He's an ordained minister. So this even adds an extra layer to this.
He's about to get
Mike one. Mike once walked in on a...
You're getting warmer.
And realize that his hog was bigger.
Yeah. So his rhyme starts.
All right, we got to hear this.
Yeah. So he looks at me, pushes up his glasses with his little, you know, snorty face kind of thing, and he says, "Hickory dickory dock." Yeah. And so
here we go.
You could hear where this is gonna go. Hickory dickory dock.
Hickory dickory dock.
Oh no, he wasn't.
Richard had showed Mike his cock,
and he sucked it.
Now you guys are just doing like a Jew voice. This guy's just...
No, it's the Dice Man.
The Dice Man.
Hickory dickory dock.
Nah, not even close.
Mike saw this colored guy's cock.
Yeah, except replace colored guy with the N-word. And kind of go over there.
There we go.
I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about
this. So, as Sammy is offending literally everybody... somehow. And everybody's
and he's a man of the cloth now, you understand.
Yeah, he's a man of the cloth now. It gathers everyone around to share this, but the whole rhyme was just Hickory Dickory Dock, the played with his cock. Mike walked in, and he said with a grin, "Please don't tell anybody." And then he turns around and he runs away, as if I was going to be upset with him. He just waddles away, and I was like,
I think we can do better.
I was just thinking that we can come up with something that rhymes, all right? He said with a grin.
No, wait. Why are we going to use Nantucket? Nantucket.
No, I was just skipping ahead because that was the rhyme that was in the Mike one, was he said with a grin. Was the
Mikey walked in, line. He said with a grin.
And then we have to rhyme with what?
Cock.
All right. I couldn't wait till I was off the clock.
I think I got it. I'm going to replace the N-word with the guy's name, Richard.
Yeah, this would be appropriate.
All right, I'll perform it as the Dice Man.
Of course you will.
Well, it's the only way to do
it. This is for Andrew.
Hickory dickory dock. Richard was jerking his cock. Mikey walked in, and he said with a grin, "Hey, at least I'm off the clock."
There you go. That's something better than what we had.
It wouldn't be bad, yeah.
All right.
But
there's no N-words in it either.
I know.
I can't.
So, I mean, Richard and the N-word have the same amount of syllables, so Sam's a racist.
Sam's a racist.
He could have come up with something better.
He could have said Richard. The guy's a person. Yeah. A person who just likes the jacket at work.
A POC.
Yeah.
Just mad ass can't even see his.
I'm just saying, I don't condone it.
Don't kink shame the man.
Don't kink shame the man.
I mean, he had a horse face lesbian girlfriend.
He did have a horse. No, he had a pit bull face. No, seriously.
Scrunchy nose and face stuff.
Fucking horrifying. Like, I don't really blame him.
Hey, maybe she was punched.
No, she was just ugly.
Oh, okay.
What are you trying to say? Aw,
she's ugly.
Trying to say that black people are more, they typically abuse their girlfriends or significant others? Is that what you're trying to say? Domestic violence among the African American community? Lawrence, is that what you're saying?
No, I think what Lawrence was suggesting that she got clocked in the face, you know, head on as a child.
Yeah.
Which would lead to adult deformity.
Someone had set her face on fire.
Are you trying to say that the African American community is more inclined to beat their children with.
Yes.
Well, she's not African American.
No, she was white.
That was part of the story. She was white. I missed that part.
She's an in-law, in fact.
Oh, so you're saying the black guy beat her up as a
he
child because
no,
racist.
He should have.
We No, seriously. He would have endeared himself to our community so much more if he just beat her up because she was a horrifying human being.
You're darn tootin'.
Yeah. So anyway,
that was a wonderful story, Mike.
Yeah. All right, you guys banter for a little bit while I go pee.
I don't know which one of those is better. The blowjob. So in one story, you have Mike's dad walking into him getting his dick sucked, right? And then in this story, you have Mike walking into a guy pulling his pecker.
Full circle.
I'll be honest. The blowjob story is way funnier than the black guy pulling his pud.
Yeah.
So the blowjob thing happened first. Right?
Yeah, the blowjob thing happened when I was 16.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, that's karma.
Yeah,
that is karma.
That's what I get. You
went home and told your dad about it, and he said, "Well, boy, you know, I walked in on you getting head.
Didn't I walk in on you getting head that one time?
That was a failure, you little peckerhead. You little shit kicker.
Oh boy.
Oh god. So John, while he's peeing,
John went to go take a wee.
I want
to
leave.
He's sitting down peeing right now.
Yeah. You sit down when you pee.
He's sitting down and peeing.
Jeff, I want to lead you in with your Hallmark movie idea because. You've had a couple now. You had one for fall.
But now, see, yeah.
And you had one for winter.
We had a fall one. We had a winter one with the Christmas season tie-in.
Christmas
and now we're now
it's
here we are.
Springtime.
Yeah, we're getting close to springtime. We're already at Ash Wednesday. Was like a week ago or something like that. Ash Wednesday just
saw
happened.
A few folks walking around the grocery store.
So that means spring is right around. Spring is right around the corner. We'll be dying eggs
thought
soon.
It was a swastika.
Did you make sure to wipe off the seat?
No, I pissed all over it. I thought that's what we did here.
I poop in there.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good pooping toilet.
Okay.
It is. It really
Jeff has the grandma toilet seat. That's foam.
It's very soft.
It was like that when I moved in, and I love it.
You really don't underestimate. You can't underestimate.
Love it.
The value of a good pooping toilet.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to have a hard time following Mike's...
That's a good shit ball, boy.
I mean, come on. A story about walking in on a black guy jerking off in a shed with... chain oil.
That's chain oil, man.
What's better than that?
Well, hopefully your spring Hallmark movie.
We'll give it a shot.
We'll try.
All right.
If you want to... If you want to change directions and go with a TBS movie, we would understand.
A TBS movie? Does TBS have original movies?
TNT.
TNT.
TNT does have original movies. I don't think TBS does.
Turner people.
Like Gore Vidal's Lincoln.
TBS just plays like syndicated programming and Conan O'Brien.
Gore Vidal.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Your highbrow references.
Gore Vidal.
It was just a joke.
Peter O'Toole film.
Oh, okay. That one's fine, but mine is too highbrow.
Roman Polanski.
Well, the idea was that I was making fun of your highbrowness with an even more highbrow reference.
Highbrow reference.
But anyway, back to Hallmark films.
Yes, which will not star Peter O'Toole.
Hey,
because he's dead.
Yeah, well, he is dead, so it's not going to star Peter O'Toole. But I'll tell you who it does star, and not a specific actress or anything.
Okay.
But this is the lead of this film.
Mm-hmm.
Is a farm girl.
Mm-hmm.
She's a farm girl. She lives with her father on a farm.
Betsy.
Mm-hmm.
And this farm.
The Crushinator.
Every year around springtime, you know, before Easter, they like to do like a spring festival.
Spring festival.
So they have a spring festival. They do egg hunts for the kids.
Like a Trax Forest.
Yeah, and they have some kind of hedge maze. Not a cornstalk maze. It's a fall thing.
Yeah, cornstalk mazes are fall.
They have whatever the spring equivalent of that is.
So it's like a budding hedge maze.
Tulip maze.
Something like that. Yeah, a tulip maze.
Tulip maze.
Or daffodils. Daffodils. Yeah.
Sunflower.
Sunflower.
Sunflower. That'd be a good maze.
That's like August.
Because they're gigantic.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, the sunflowers are at the end of the summer. They get like 8 feet tall.
You'll remember my time.
The gladiolas are coming in good this year.
Right. So.
But a maze.
So she's kind of like, you know, she's an independent woman. Mm-hmm. You know, she runs this. She has to run this farm on her own because her dad is old and sick and he's dying.
And a drunk.
Yeah, it used to be his farm. You know, I never said he was a drunk. That's not Hallmark.
They don't have drunks
in
Hallmark.
A drunk dad is not Hallmark.
He is just old, good dad.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So what happens is she wants you to take the farm.
So he's at Asner.
Never forget the farm.
So it's the festival. Everyone's having
Don't sell the farm.
Everyone's having a good time. The kids are finding eggs.
I'm having a good fucking time!
Right. And they're running through the maze, but, you know, a kid gets lost in the maze, and the dad's like, oh, my kid, he's been there for like 20 minutes. He should be out by now. He's been there forever. And so the woman's like, oh, I can help find your boy. So she goes and finds him like right
away.
Wait a minute.
This is Hallmark. They don't have accents on a Hallmark.
Well, you could have like a slight drawl, I think, for the main woman.
I'll find your son.
Not like that. You know, you're getting way
I'll find
too,
you, boy.
That's too much.
Reese Witherspoon.
No, she can perform an accent, it turns out.
I think she's a...
Yeah.
I think she is still like above... She's on an HBO show.
Yeah.
So she's above
she'll
Hallmark.
Too much.
Yeah, she's not going to do a Hallmark movie.
I'm thinking
it's
got to
be Candace Cameron Bure.
And it could be, except I don't see Candace Cameron Bure in the role of the farm girl.
I really don't either so far.
No, I don't see that either. I don't see her being the farm girl.
Lacey Chabert?
I thought you said Danica Patrick for a second.
Even less. We're even going further away. But anyway,
I'm just trying to think of the broads who do the Hallmark movies.
Can we get back to the plot here, please?
No, we have to cast this before we even move on.
Okay, well, we have
because how do we picture this?
Cast every role.
Why not?
God damn it! Yes, we will.
I'm gonna picture
John Voight.
Well,
John
like Voight
is the dad.
Picture Anne Hathaway in this role just because she makes me happy.
Okay,
John Voight's the dad.
John Voight is the John Voight could be the dad. Let's go with John Voight. John Voight is the father. Yeah.
He's had a career downturn.
That is a good casting, and we'll find out later. But anyway, so the kid gets lost. She finds the kid. All right,
mm-hmm.
And she brings the kid back, and everyone's happy. Yay, they found the kid. And then her and this guy, they get to talking. They talk a little bit. And then the guy says something, like, oh, what's your, maybe I want to make it up to you. I want to take you out to dinner.
I want to take you to the buffet.
But then right after he asks that, some other guy comes up and he says, hey, what's going on?
Oh, she has a boyfriend.
Well, she says, his son was lost in the maze, and I helped, and we found him. And the guy's like, oh, no, we didn't find him. You found him. Come on. But then the guy who we will later find out that he is the fiancé.
Mm-hmm. This is not my kind of guy.
Right.
He's the romantic false lead.
Right, he's the romantic false lead, and he says, "Oh,
which is part of the
Hallmark
formula."
Yes, and he's like a charming, you know, he's attractive, a charming man, saying, you know, oh, of course she found him. She's so smart and whatever.
He's about to make lead surgeon at Decatur, Alabama. Exactly.
No, Mike. No,
Mikey, you provide the show, and you make us burst with country flavor.
And you know what? I do appreciate the comment, but you know, it doesn't fit into the plot that I had in mind.
I just like the name Decatur, Alabama, so I had to have to work it in occasionally. No,
these movies can't take place in Alabama. Alabama is not the place
Decatur,
for
Illinois.
A Hallmark film.
Eh, there is Decatur, Illinois.
Okay, then that's Decatur, Illinois.
Decatur, Illinois.
Yeah, that could work.
Want to get away from the big cities?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that
green
happens.
Up Nebraska.
Green up Nebraska.
Yeah. So what they end up finding out is, you know, she goes, "Oh, this is my fiance." And that's what we found out. This is the fiance. And he says, and he makes a comment about like yeah, for 3 years, you know,
he's getting impatient because
she's
in the Hallmark world, the guy's getting impatient for some reason.
Exactly, because she's been dragging her feet.
She's dithering.
Yeah, she's been dragging her feet.
Dithering. Fuck you.
Move this man.
Yeah.
So John's just mad because his vocabulary is not as advanced as mine.
He's been vignetting.
I therefore made the subject fun.
So the main
anyway, Jeff, go on.
So the main fella, you know, he you know, she turns him down for dinner, of course, and he says, "Okay, well, you know, hopefully I'll see you around sometime." They both go their separate ways. And then it cuts to, you know, at night, you see the main girl. She's got to take care of her dad because he's sick. She lives there in the house with him, the farmhouse, the family farmhouse.
Can we replace the words "her dad" with John Voight?
Yes, John Voight.
John
so she's taking care of John Voight.
Voight.
And then you also see our main male lead. He's taking care of his kids, you know, reading his story. He's the good dad, braiding hair. He's a single father, by the way.
Okay, so he can do a French braid better than anybody on the goddamn block.
Mm-hmm. And he's just a great guy. He's a great father.
Who plays him?
That guy. That usual guy. That guy.
That guy.
Remember that guy?
The guy you're thinking of.
The guy you're thinking of?
That's who
plays. I have a picture in my head.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
whoever you're
him.
Picturing, yeah. That's who plays that
okay,
guy.
Okay.
So
those guys don't have names.
So we get these nice establishment kind of things to show, you know, just to show the character, right? And then we cut back to the woman. She's on the front porch of the house at night. And after she puts her father to bed,
she goes out and has a cigarette. Mm.
No, she's drinking coffee with both hands.
Okay. Yeah, so out of a mug.
Yes, she has a mug.
At 10:30 p.m.
She's holding it with both hands.
30 at night.
Tea.
Chamomile tea.
Yeah.
Yeah,
tea, maybe
makes
some
sense.
Tea. It
yeah.
doesn't Just matter.
Sunset.
But so, and then.
Occasionally steeping it. Oops, shit.
So then our fiance.
Her hot beverage.
Yeah.
Our fiance rolls up.
Why?
He just does because she says, "Where were you?" And he says, "Oh, I was out with the guys. You know, we were having.
I'm running
time.
A little late."
Oh, she says, "The fiance." I'm thinking the original.
No, the fiance.
I'm thinking the guy.
It's the fiance. Yeah. The fiance rolls up.
We were rolling
because he was out with the guys, and she says, "But did you pick up the prescription? He was supposed to pick up
John
the prescription for John
right?
Voight.
John Voight needs his pills."
Yeah. and he's like, "Oh, you know what? I forgot, but you know, I'll totally get it tomorrow. Whatever." You know, this is to establish that this guy, he's kind of a piece of shit.
This guy, this is not my kind of guy.
Right. Yeah, I knew you were going to hit that button. But
but he's a surgeon, so
I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
Where does that come from? That doesn't
even make
there
sense.
There's no relevance here. Everybody's white in these
and
movies.
No black people. And
I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
This is a movie of all white people because it's Hallmark.
Because it's Hallmark.
No.
And it's in Decatur.
And there are no interracial couples. But anyway, there's no gay black friend, but, you know, we could do that. Anyway.
We could do that.
Darn tootin'.
Anyway.
There is one. It's in Chicago.
So that happens. We established that the fiancé, he's not a reliable guy. He's not that type of guy. So we go back to, you know, it's the next morning. We see our main male lead.
The guy.
He's at work. He works at a bank. Okay. He does pretty well for himself. He works in an office.
He's a vice president.
Yeah, he's not just like some shitty you know, teller or drive
like what I do. Type
of... I was waiting for you to say
something. I, therefore, made the subject of fun.
Thank you for that setup.
Trying to get that out. But so he's at work in his office, you know, and he pours some honey into his tea, and he looks at the label on the honey. And it was honey that he bought at the festival,
yeah,
the farm, you know. And he thinks
natural,
he's, you
honey.
Know. You can see, you know, it's
organic.
It's, he's thinking about the woman.
Bees,
the poor bees,
not the bees. He's thinking about
the woman.
He's thinking about the woman that he just met because he took note whenever the comment about like, oh, for 3 years we've been engaged. You know, he took note of that, and so now we cut to the woman again, and she's down in an office of the bank. Now, we don't know at first that it's the same bank. She's just in an office with someone, and they're discussing a you know, mortgage payment.
Yeah, the farm's
like
mortgage.
The farm's yeah. mortgage because they you know, they had to take a mortgage. It's been the family farm for a long
time. Well, since John Voight got sick, it's been rough going.
It was in the family for a long time.
They had to sell all the hogs.
Well, they had to take out a mortgage on the place because you know, things were a little rough, and they thought they'd take out a mortgage, get things you know going back together. And it you know, it's
didn't
not
work.
Going well. It's not going well. The mortgage is in arrears.
Paul thought it'd be a good idea to plant okra, and just wasn't a good market for okra.
Right, because this is a Hallmark film. Where the okra just isn't going to sell well.
Just didn't come in well this year.
They don't grow a watermelon either. But anyway,
oh God,
that was a bad one.
Oh. That ain't kosher.
But anyway, so we go back to our male lead who's going out to lunch, and that's when he runs into our female lead, our farm girl.
Oh, right.
She's leaving the office. She tries to act like nothing's going on. Oh, I was just meeting for, you know, just talk about, you know, some investments, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah,
she's
you know.
Blowing
he says, well,
off.
Hey, you know what? You wouldn't let me take
she's
you
a
to dinner.
She's a hotshot investment banker.
You know, why don't you let me, let me take you to lunch, you know.
You saved my kid from the horrible hedge maze.
You found my kid in the hedge maze. Let me take
I promise
lunch.
You I'd make it up to
it's
you.
It's my treat.
Let me buy you some soup.
Yeah, you know, and she goes, okay, you know, well, it's not a date. We're not going on a date. Of course, because she's engaged. Right?
It's just a luncheon.
Right? So they go to lunch, you know, and that's where at lunch, you know, she opens up a bit. You know, even though she's, you know, kind of this strong woman who tends to be closed off, maybe a little defensive. But, you know, she does open up a little bit.
I don't think this character will work in a Hallmark movie.
She's had a glass or two of oolong tea.
Because that character's been every Hallmark movie.
That's why exactly
That's
why it
works.
Works.
I know, there's a formula.
This is the formula, John.
My joke went over your head.
But I've seen three of these movies.
I was
movies.
Being facetious.
yeah, you were. But anyway, she starts opening up to him, and that's when she tells him that, you know, the reason that she's engaged to this guy is kind of because of her dad, you know?
What a pisser.
So, because this guy...
dick.
We already talked about that, Mike.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we're
maybe
I'm
in,
still in
maybe,
we're on to another story.
Sorry,
hey, maybe
sorry.
In the TNT version of this movie.
The HBO version.
This hog, it's just so juicy.
He has such a juicy hog. Is your hog as juicy as his? No, but they're at lunch.
8% black guy.
And she opens up to him about how it's her dad is the reason that she's engaged to this guy because they were like family friends, you know. He's like, you know, his dad and her dad are best friends, and it was just always kind of like,
so
oh, they're going to get
like
married one
just
day.
Just short of an arranged
also,
marriage.
Yeah, kind of. He's also at like the neighboring farm, you know, and the neighboring farm, they're doing pretty well for themselves. But unfortunately, her farm, not doing so well. That's why she was at the bank that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she learns this, and then...
So John Voight wants to get that family in so he can save the farm. He
can merge the farms.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't think that's... I mean, I never really thought about that. But
yeah, you could go
it was
in
just,
that
it was just kind
actually,
of a, you know, we're friends.
I honestly think there's actually... You could add a little bit more of a sinister angle to the guy who's not that kind of guy.
Well, maybe you're getting a little bit ahead of things, John.
Oh.
Okay.
Please continue.
Okay.
Please continue.
Now.
No.
To continue, that was lunch. Lunch is over.
Lunch is over.
I wish I had my notes on this that I took.
Had their soup.
I did write
you
some
wrote
notes
the whole
down.
Lunch order down.
She had
split
the
pea soup.
She had the turkey club.
Turkey club.
With coleslaw instead of fries.
Yankee bean soup, coleslaw, tuna surprise.
But anyway, yeah, so lunch is over. And now things get less detailed in my vision. But basically, what has to happen
is vision.
I have vision. Spielberg. All right? You know, I'm a creative type that comes up with these things. I shouldn't even be pitching this to a stupid, cheap ass microphone. I should be talking to Hallmark execs.
Roman Polanski should be hearing this.
I should be pitching this.
There's no 10-year-old boys involved. He is not interested.
The one that gets lost
13,
in the
excuse
maze.
Excuse me. She was 13.
Okay.
Well,
come
on.
She was 13.
Come on. Yeah. Anyway,
Michael Bay movie explosion.
So, but this guy, the main lead, you know, he hears this and he can tell that this girl, you know, he doesn't want to sabotage anything for her, but it's clear that she's not going to be happy with this fiance fella because he sounds like kind of a piece of shit. And it turns out that he is. He does have some underhanded things that he wants to do.
Some
are you saying that he has some sinister intentions?
Yes. Then there is a reason farm is doing pretty well for themselves, and hers isn't.
Okay.
Now I hadn't gotten as far
because they haven't planted okra.
Because, like I said,
damn it, Mike! Enough with the okra.
Sorry.
I would have came up with something except I left my notes that I was taking at work, but. He did have something in mind. You know, there was something that he was doing that was, you know, the reason that his farm was doing well.
Proper irrigation.
But, so this guy, he works for the...
soil.
Our main lead male. He works for the bank. The same bank that this woman has her mortgage with. So, let's just say, we're going to skip ahead. Some shit happens, as
some shit.
I usually kind
the,
of
the falling in love.
Yeah, you know, they kind of see each other here and there.
You realize that this being a Hallmark movie, have you set up the proper almost kiss scene?
Yeah, it'll be in there. I mean, that's kind of, you know, these things, do we really need all the details of that worked out?
The almost kiss is the pinnacle of the Hallmark movie.
Maybe it's not at lunch, but, you know, it's the pinnacle of the movie, but I think we've set up enough that, you know, that can happen. Because
it's going to happen.
She's visiting him. All right, I got the almost kiss set up.
Okay.
It's really easy. Actually, they're all pretty much play out like this. Because I've seen exactly one. It was called Falling for Vermont, and this is how it happened.
Vermont.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Great.
I know. So here's how it happens. She's visiting him, you know, to say hello and thanks for lunch. He puts his kid to bed because he's such a great dad. And because the kid's in bed, they're both standing there going,
see you later.
And then they both lean in, and then you hear, Dad! And...
Yeah.
There's the almost kiss.
Yeah,
I gotta go.
And you can do that because you know what? Like, she doesn't have to be like a, you know, she doesn't really have to. She is kind of sneaking around behind the fiance's back a little bit.
But she's not trying.
But she's not. Yeah, they don't live together.
Yeah.
She lives with her father, and the fiance lives on his farm. That's you know, the next farm over. So there isn't really, you know, she doesn't have to look too, you know, devious.
Yeah.
So they're So
she's
she can
still a
see
good
him.
Woman.
She can see him. You know,
a good
enough
Decatur
that
woman.
They start to, you know,
let it go, Mike.
They start.
He
to
was just hanging on okra 5 minutes
hey,
ago.
Hey, I'm the authority on farms here, so I'm just saying.
No, that is true.
A little disappointed I haven't been consulted.
Okra don't play in Greenup, Nebraska.
Okra don't play in Nebraska.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they connect and things sparks fly.
Your face when you said that.
I am because like
he's
like,
misplaced his notes. God damn it!
I left my notes, but I didn't actually finish them anyway. I would have gotten there. But basically, what needs to happen is this main lead guy who works for the bank that has the mortgage. He's going to come up with some way.
Is he going to pull a few strings?
Well, he is, except there's one problem.
Oh.
He's going to commit fraud.
Okay. He's not going to commit... Well, he can't commit fraud. He can't do anything illegal.
This is Hallmark.
Yeah.
So what it has to be...
The Walmart wants the ground.
I don't know enough about mortgages and stuff to figure out how this is going to work. But he has to... There has to be something where he can save her farm.
He pitches the president of the bank
because they're
going to because
that's what he finds out. She doesn't tell him this, but he finds out by looking at records and stuff that they're going to foreclose on this farm, the bank that he works for.
Yeah,
he's going to foreclose on the farm.
Oh no!
Oh no! But he works for the bank, so there has to be some way that he can save the farm, but he also loses his job. Yeah, and so just for this woman, he ends up doing that. He saves the farm at the, you know, but he risks his job.
Gets fired.
And here's the thing, though. Because he does this.
Clean out your desk, Johnson.
He ends up exposing. He ends up exposing the
penis,
the fiance, to John
Mike.
Voight. John Voight. He ends up exposing the fiance to John Voight, you know, for his deviousness.
Yeah.
Whatever he was doing that I haven't figured out yet.
Dirk McGavin was our most valued customer, Johnson!
Right.
You're fired!
He wants him to foreclose because he's got a shady business deal
he
with
wants
the developer.
The land. Yeah,
a developer who wants to put in high-end
condos.
Yeah, because
if the bank forecloses on it, then they can buy it at auction.
Yeah,
you know,
buy
cheap,
it
like
for
the,
cheap
the,
price.
The sheriff's, much cheaper. Sheriff's
and that's where Dirk McGavin moves in.
And his family can buy the land, and meanwhile, it's like, yeah, and you're married to me too. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, but so
your father can live in the upstairs bedroom.
But but our main lead, who actually in my notes, he was a city guy because he's from the big city. You know,
oh, the big city of
big city,
Des Moines.
Chicago,
right?
Green up Nebraska,
Omaha.
they have a building there.
I hadn't thought about that.
Oh yeah, he's all the way from Omaha.
He's from Omaha,
but anyway,
Midwestern guy.
That's a good big city for that kind of thing.
Yeah, so that's what happens is he ends up being able to save the farm, which puts him in the good graces of the father, John Voight. And he also exposes the fiance, and John
As
Voight realizes, like, wow, you know what? I'm so sorry that I thought that you should marry this shitty guy.
That I tried to sell you into marriage.
So his daughter and John Voight have this moment, you know, like, oh, I should have let you make your own decisions. You know, you're a smart girl and you took care of the farm. You should be able to choose who you want to marry.
And then he slaps the city guy on the back and says, you know what?
I think you're okay.
You ain't
you're all right.
You're all right.
You're all right.
Yeah. Welcome to the family.
Because he loves...
Well, not yet.
And
there's
then
a four-year courtship
is,
we have to have.
You know, then we have the closing...
Under close supervision of your parents.
Yeah, but then we have the closing scene of like him showing up at the farm and like, kind of looking around like, yep, this is my new life.
I'm a farmer now.
This is my new life. I was a banker and now I'm a farmer.
And you can just make
and
a seamless transition into that.
Well, it's easy. You know, you can figure this stuff.
Working outside, making
all you gotta
a few
do
bucks.
Is you gotta mow the lawn.
Yeah,
getting exercise.
Gonna grow cantaloupes.
And he goes, he like opens up the barn. And there's a tractor there, and he's like, I can't wait to get my ass on this tractor.
Takes his shirt off.
He's like, I was always a John Deere guy, but I guess this Massey Ferguson will have to do.
Tractor
Jesus
brands.
Christ.
It's very niche.
I'm used to the John Deere's. This here is an International.
This is an Oliver.
This is a Westinghouse.
Hey, our uncle had a 1948 Ford tractor that he used to cut his grass with.
And then he got one of those zero turns and cut the time by 2 hours.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Didn't have to do a 16-point turn.
He used to take three. Oh, God.
That's pretty funny.
It is, yeah.
That's funny right there.
All right. Anyway, well, I think we're coming up on
that's
it. So
that's my hallmark.
I think.
Hallmark
why don't you bring
film.
Us home, Lawrence, please?
Yeah, I think I liked Mike's story better than my hallmark.
Really?
There's some
high points in both.
But Mike's story had a black guy jerking off, and you can't have that in a Hallmark movie.
No, you can't.
You know? It's that it doesn't appeal to the Midwestern kind of, you know.
Yeah, the FCC or, wouldn't.
The flyover
yeah,
state
that's
audience.
That's more something for Game of Thrones or something.
Game of
the
Thrones.
The rubes that watch the Hallmark Channel doesn't appeal to them.
So on that note, leaving it on that high point, for John, for Jeff, for Mike, I'm Lawrence saying so long, everybody.
Bye.
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 It was almost a note.